The Lone Star Broadcasting Network presents Standing Freedom.
I'm Gigi Arnetta, welcoming you to Standing Freedom.
Now, I've had Reverend Hackbart on the show before, but we never got a chance to meet his wife, Linda. So joining me tonight on the show, I have Linda Hackbart, who has an incredible story of overcoming. So let's get started. Linda, thank you so much for being here tonight on Standing Freedom. We're going to jump into the details of your story in a minute, but Linda, start with what your dad did for you.
When I was a small child, my dad took my brothers and me to church to learn about the living God's love and care for us. He wanted us to know what God had done for us through his son, Christ Jesus. I didn't know how soon that message would benefit my young life, but a couple of weeks after my 10th birthday, my father, who was 36 years old, was killed in a car accident. I'm really not sure I can express in words how I felt as a child. My daddy was never coming home again, and I would never be able to sit on his lap and eat sardines. I cannot believe I did that. But my dad loved sardines, so I wanted to eat them too. I loved him so much. And then about a year after his death, I prayed for the first time by myself. I wanted to know if my dad was all right. I didn't see anything or hear anything, but the Lord communicated such a strong assurance to my heart, and I've been talking to him every day since. I listen to what he has to say in the Bible, and I ask him about all kinds of things, asking for his will to be done, because I know that he always has the best in mind for us, even when tragic things happen.
Now, I know you just touched a little bit about your father's death, but that was the first major tragedy in your life. Let's jump right into the second one.
As I shared about how I met Jesus, that was a tragic thing that happened in my life. I was stunned. I was numb, but God brought good out of it. And
for people that might be struggling with post-traumatic stress, unforgiveness, the things that we all have to, at some point, deal with, and as far as finding forgiveness for ourselves, for other people, if you could touch on a little bit of what happened to you and how you got through it, depending on Christ.
Mm-hmm. When my husband was at the seminary, it was the second year he was in at the seminary to become a pastor, our children, our two boys, had paper routes. And we would help them with their paper routes and because they were young. And we wanted them, you know, trying to teach your children about, you know, earning money and buying things with their money they've earned and stuff. Well, anyway, my husband's mother was in the process of moving to Florida. And so we had stored some of our stuff at her townhouse. And so my husband had to go to Michigan to get that stuff out. And so I told our oldest son, you go with your younger brother, and I'll do your paper route. Oh, my gosh, it was so dark out. There was no moon shining that night, and it was about 5:45 in the morning. There was snow everywhere. It was extremely cold. I told the boys, I said, you know, they had their snowsuits on, like their bib overalls, ski suits, and I had three layers of clothing on, three shirts and three layers of pants and mittens, and I had my hat and hood up and boots and everything. I drove to the starting point of the paper route, and I started the first part of it where our oldest son had his paper route. We would have to drive to it. It was probably only a mile away, but it was extremely cold that morning and just tons of snow. Our oldest son, Nathan, went with his younger brother, Alex, and then I did our oldest son's route. And I started the route, and I was, you know, delivering papers, and I saw this man out walking, and I thought, it's a free world. I've taken a walk, you know, Well, it was very cold, and I don't know if people still do it, but they used to wear these ski masks where you could only, because if you went snowmobiling, a lot of people would wear these snow masks, and you'd just see their eyes and, you know, their mouth. Oh, anyway, this guy got closer to me, and he asked me if he could buy a paper. And I said, oh, gosh, I said, I don't have any extras, but I felt so uncomfortable. I said, oh, here, you know, you could have one, and because I just wanted to get rid of them. And he wanted to pay for it. I said, oh, no, no, no. And so then he left. And the first place I came to, that particular part of the, it was a very large complex of apartments, townhouses, and then, like, duplexes where senior citizens lived. And I was in the senior citizen section. And so when I saw someone come into their kitchen, they turned the kitchen light on, I tapped on the window and motioned for the gentleman to go to the door, and he came to the door, and he says, oh, I discontinued my paper route, and, you know, he won't give me a chance to talk to that. Oh, I'm sorry, and I left. So then I went to the next place, because I was just uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. And I'm thinking, oh, my husband, you know, he's in Michigan, he's going to say, oh, my wife's waking up all the customers. And so then I went to the second place where I saw a light, and a woman had gotten up to get a drink of water. And I tapped on the window, and I thought they might recognize me, you know. We deliver their paper every day. And so I thought she was going to come to the door, and she walked out of the kitchen, turned off the light, and that was the last I saw of her. And then I ran out of papers, so then I was on my way back to the car to get the second load of papers. And I see this man walking down the street toward me again. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if I scream, you know, he'll know I'm afraid. And I thought, I was so frightened, I think I was speechless. And so he was walking closer and closer to me, and I tried to walk on the other side of the street to be as far away from him as possible, but he came right over to me. He was about 3 feet away, and he pulled a knife on me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, put that away. And nothing happened. Wow. Then I said it a second time, and louder. In the name of Jesus, put that away. And nothing happened. And then a third time, louder. In the name of Jesus, put that away. And he knocked me out. He didn't use the knife on me, but it was an attempted rape. I do not remember this, but my husband and my father said they followed the blood in the snow because he had hit me in the face. Matter of fact, when I was in surgery, the surgeon said, what hit this woman? Her whole face is broken. My face was disconnected from my skull. And my skin, for some reason, was not broken anywhere or cut anywhere. Just on my lip, I had a little cut. They did all the surgery from inside the roof of my mouth. And then on my eyebrows, you know, at the end of your eyebrows is where they did incisions, where they wired my jaws, wired my jaw closed for about 7 weeks. So my face would heal. But he had picked me up, and he carried me in the snow behind a building where he had evil intentions of raping me. And I believe, I mean, when I'm in my top physical condition, I'm not that strong. I believe the Holy Spirit took over because they could tell that I had struggled with him. And just the way the blood was on my clothes, they could tell that a struggle had taken place, and in the snow and everything. Well, anyway, I don't remember this, but I went to probably the next lighted place I could find, and I asked them to call 911, and I was a bloody mess. And I think the guy just got, the Holy Spirit had me struggling with him. He got discouraged, and he left. He did not rape me. And I woke up in the emergency room, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, Linda, I know it looks really bad, but I am with you, and that's all you need to know. And I said, yes, Lord, that's all I need to know. And God allowed me to feel his presence. He filled the room. I don't know how to explain it, but it was, I've never experienced that since then or before. Well, when I was a child, he made it clear to me that, but it was different. When I was in the emergency room, I mean, he just filled the entire room. I don't know how to explain it. So I knew he was with me, and I didn't look good. When I was a young woman, I was a real material girl. I was just brought up to really, and I still appreciate beautiful things, don't get me wrong. but when I was young, when I got married, young. I was only 18, and my husband's about 5 years older than me, and he just was a real capable young man and was able to achieve. He understood many things and was able to achieve a great deal, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, I guess you would say, and spent a lot of money. And I never really thought how challenging it could have been on him. So when I lost my faith, beautiful things lost their luster. And I believe then, and I've always believed that God always has the best in mind for us. So I knew that he was allowing this, because nothing happens without the Lord knowing it. And there's another Bible verse, and I don't know if I can remember where it is or not, about don't two sparrows cost a penny? Matthew 10, verses 29 to 31, sparrows sold for a penny, not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's permission. Every hair on your head has been counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.
Amen.
So, you know, nothing happens to us without God knowing. So I've always believed, since I was 11, been aware of God's presence since I was 11, that God was going to bring good out of this. And I believe that he was trying to teach me a lesson for my own good. And the Lord was very merciful. The doctor told my husband, he said, get your wife back to work as soon as possible. Because if you don't get her out of the house, she'll never come out again. And so I went back to work. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And I went back to work, I think, about 3 weeks after that. And I remember my manager asking me, Linda, why would God let this happen to you? And I said, I don't know, Mary, but he does know one thing. He knows I will tell everybody who will listen to my story.
Amen. And I have to say for our listeners, Linda is beautiful. And I mean beautiful on the outside, too. So when you see her and you go to her YouTube channel, you can actually see her and see the miracle. Because it is a miracle what happened.
Mm-hmm. It was a miracle. Within 3 months, the Lord healed my face, and I can see the difference. I could see the difference, but other people say they couldn't really see any difference. So, but I looked like I had palsy on the left side of my face. I've got a plastic support under my left eye, and the surgeon said, he said, give your face a year. He said, we don't know if the nerves will come back, but my face was restored. Well, the Lord was very, very kind and merciful. And if he made heaven and earth, is there anything else? I mean, so he was very kind and merciful. And I, that was a life-altering experience too. I, like I said, have never stopped. Well, every day I must say, when that happened, I didn't, when it came to beautiful things, I just had no desire for anything. A lot of people were praying for me at the seminary. People across the country were praying for me. because they were relatives of people at the seminary, and the seminary family, they brought us meals in for like 2 weeks to my family. I just feel like the Lord took care of us. When I went home, I don't remember feeling any pain, but I was on morphine. I was on morphine at the hospital. But when I went home, it was okay. But I knew there was something for me to learn, and I needed to change. I now pray for God's will, and I ask the Lord. Sometimes I say, Lord, save me from myself, because, you know, I do have this corrupt human nature, and even though I got my spiritual nature that he's given me, it is a daily struggle. So sometimes I do say, Lord, save me from myself.
Yes, I know that one real well.
And the Lord says to pray for everybody, and I do. I pray for our president, our Congress, and the people who rule the world, because there's a lot of people that are probably involved in ruling the world that I'm not aware of. And so I pray and I say, Lord, cause decisions that are in line with your will. And Lord, have mercy on us all.
Well, Linda, I want to ask you one more question, because I just wanted to know, for our soldiers out there, for our parents out there, for people who are struggling with something that they feel was unjustly done to them, how do you forgive that person who...
Well, I was very fortunate. I was not raped, so I was very thankful. And you know what? It's interesting you asked that. I did have about 3 different women come and visit me when I was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they had been raped, and they would have rather been raped than had what happened to me.
Yeah,
I didn't look good.
What you went through was just so awful. How do you?
Well, the Lord knows each of us intimately, and I know He can heal. He could have healed me emotionally as well as physically, and they do feel they caught the man because he tried to attack another woman, a young woman, a few weeks later. But I couldn't identify him. All I remember is that he had a ski mask on, and he had a navy blue pea jacket and his size and stuff. And a gentleman to that description tried to attack a woman 2 or 3 weeks after that. And so, but forgiveness, I believe, is a miracle. And only God performs miracles. And it's something that only God can work in our heart. You know, for people, if we've done things ourselves that we're ashamed of, we can repent of them and know that God will forgive us. And then for those who have sinned against us, we need to forgive them, like we say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who trespass against us. So it's a God thing. God has to work. When forgiveness takes place, I believe that is God working in us, because it's truly a miracle. And I always say bitterness destroys the person holding it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we don't let it go, and the only way we can is through the Lord's help. So forgiveness is a miracle, and only God. We all need to pray all the time. And the one Bible verse I mentioned too said about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Whatever happens, give thanks, because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this. So the joy comes from knowing the Lord. That's joy, knowing Jesus. And on this earth, we're going to see a lot of pain and suffering. We just have to pray for people, their situations, because lots of times people can't pray for themselves, even when they are believers, because they're in such pain. They're so hurt. And so their Christian brothers and sisters need to pray for them on their behalf. And we all have a purpose in life, and we may not know exactly what it is, but one thing I'm sure of is that the Lord wants us to speak and act and think in a way that gives honor and glory to His holy name. Gigi, may I share some of my favorite Bible verses?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, the first one I would like to share is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6. Train a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not turn away from it. The next one is from 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. Every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of them are good for teaching, pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. And then another one is from John chapter 3, verse 16, and it's the most famous Bible verse in the world, I believe. God loved the world this way. He gave His only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not die but will have eternal life. And the living Lord is not done talking yet. He wants me to remind y'all of one more thing. This Bible verse is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is a hero who saves you. He happily rejoices over you, renews you with His love, and celebrates over you with shouts of joy. So those are some of my favorite Bible verses. I could go on and on, actually.
What if, as a parent, you feel like you just kind of miss the mark a lot and you don't know where to start? Is there a place where someone who might be searching should just begin? Is there a place that you can suggest?
Yes, pray. I can identify with that parent. Our children are grown, and I think parenting is the hardest task in life, the most challenging task, because we, as believers, we want to share with our children about Jesus. But our children have to enter into a relationship with Jesus. Our faith cannot save them. And yes, we need to tell them everything we can about Jesus, but we don't have control over the situation. And I can identify with a parent who we can focus on our weaknesses or we can focus on our strengths. And as a parent, you know, you just do your best and you just pray. And this one Bible verse, well, actually a couple of them, like you say, the one from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not turn away from it. So, you know, when kids are in high school, getting to especially college, they start questioning everything. And so as a parent, if you, well, sometimes maybe the adult was not a believer when they were raising their children, so they never did talk about Jesus. The Lord is so kind, so merciful. He is the maker of heaven and earth. It's never too late. Each morning we wake up is the first day of the rest of our lives. And God loves us. He showed us by coming to earth and suffering and dying on the cross to pay for our sins. And when we repent of those sins, we become His children. And He wants to be involved in our lives. And, you know, when we're looking God in our life, daily life, we will begin to see Him as we pray and ask for His help. I think so often people do not want to submit their lives to anyone. They want to be in control of their lives, and God wants to be our God. A lot of people want to be their own God. And it's not till we're willing to submit to God's authority that we really can begin to see Him everywhere. if you want to know what God thinks, just read the Bible. He doesn't have any problem telling us what he likes.
When I first started to really read the Bible, I frankly, before I knew Christ, I couldn't understand it. So I just want to reach out to anybody who might be out there now who doesn't really know Christ, who's going, well, how can I read this book? Because I know I kept telling my friends, this is Chinese. I can't understand this.
It would have been the late 1970s, after 1975. I had the same problem with the Bible. And I was praying, and I said, Lord, would you bring out a Bible I could read and understand? And, you know, I never dreamed in a million years that my husband would be involved in the answer to my prayer. But as you know, he was called to oversee a new English Bible translation called God's Word. And it reads very accurately. They went to the earliest manuscripts of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And it's translated very clearly. It's easy to read. They had English reviewers involved with the ancient language experts. The experts in the ancient languages would translate into English, then it would be handed over to the English reviewers, and then the English reviewer may say to the expert in the ancient language, well, this sentence in English would read better this way. Is that, oh, change something we shouldn't have, you know? And so they worked together. So this new translation called God's Word, it reads like a novel. It's they use closest natural, they use the closest natural equivalence method of translating the Bible. And so it's very easy to read. It's a single column on the page. And I give it to lots of people. I give them Bibles. I give them little booklets. My husband has put out God's Word for Love, God's Word for Encouragement, and a number of little booklets, you know, like 16 to 32 pages. And that's a lot of times, like you were saying, the Bible was intimidating to you. It was hard to understand. And I understand because I was there. But with these little booklets, it's a start. And
how can our listeners get those?
Well, they can go on to the website, www.godsword.org. And there's no apostrophe, www.godsword.org. And they can go on that website. Matter of fact, at Christmas, my husband put together a little booklet called The Christmas Story. And it's taken out of the book of Luke about the birth of Christ. And some of it's from Matthew a little bit. And they can actually read it right on the website. Let's see, when you go onto the website, you click on Ministry Resources and then scroll down. And then there's a little search box, and you can put in Christmas Story, and the whole thing comes up. It's I think it's about 16 pages, and it's right out of the Bible, and they can order a Bible from the website, or they can call. There's a 1-800 number, you know, if they wanted to order a Bible. And I know the large print Bible, people like that larger print. And if a child can read, they can read God's Word. I have a real heart for children, and I like to give Bibles to children. And
I know we have to go now, so I don't want to miss this opportunity. If people want to reach out to you, they can also reach you on your YouTube channel, right?
If they want to contact me, they could email me. My testimony is on YouTube, and it's www.youtube.com, and then you go to the search box and you type in my name, Linda Hackbart, and my YouTube video should pop up. You'll see my face.
Linda, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, yes, thoroughly enjoyed it.
I want to take this opportunity to thank all my guests and the stations airing the show.
and I want to thank our military and their families. A special thank you now from Kevin Swink. You can find his music on the internet, and you can see more about Kevin at songsforthebrave.com.
Land of the free, home of the brave, four stars and stripes, their lives they gave to all the men and women through the history of time. Thank you for giving your life to save mine. Red, white, and blue, waves free in the sky. United we stand, united we die. To all who've gone before me, and the ones in the sand, thank you for giving your life to save this land. Fight for the rights of the nation, to go where they tell you to go. Thank you for giving.